Get halfway through or so, we'll have Jason Ingerman joining us as well. And Jason's doing some exciting stuff with us, contemplating how we could potentially incorporate badges to give the students some type of recognition for the work they've done on the project, and to kind of give a pat on the virtual pat on the back for the work that's been done. And so hopefully we'll get Jason at LinkedIn. Oh, there's Jason. I see him. There's Jason's here. Okay. Hi, Jason. So with that, I think I'll just jump right in. First of all, I start everything, start and end every session with thank yous. I was talking to Gabrielle this week, and we really kind of can't believe this works because we're all here as volunteers. The client is pitching in on a Thursday evening and joining us, and it's just amazing that we are all here on a Thursday night to talk about something that's just important to everybody. And we just really want to thank everybody for everything you've done so far and those final pushes we the next 6 weeks as we go to finish things. And so with that, I think I'm going to turn it right over to Gabrielle to take us through a project management update. Just kind of talk about what the milestones are that we've hit already in the first 6 weeks. We're kind of at the midpoint, and what's up next on the agenda in terms of our next big deliverables and milestones. So with that, Gabrielle, you want to take over?
I sure will. Well, hello everyone and welcome. I'm glad to see everyone out on a Thursday night. It was a little tough for me. I told Jennifer I went home from class today after teaching and fell asleep, so I'm glad I woke up in time to be here. But it really has been an exciting project. I'm like Jennifer and I were talking about tearing up this week. Like I could almost tear up at how fabulous the design coordinators and the teams have been. We've hit so many milestones. Just even coming together, such a large group, and working together and getting to know each other, it's really been an amazing experience for me. I'm learning so much and having really a good time. So everybody got their design plans in on time, which was great. We are going to talk about, do we want to talk about the design document now? Jennifer, do you have that later? Do you want to wait until you go over the other?
You can talk about it now. I don't think I really had. We can maybe move to this slide if you wanted to. Should I do my
Okay.
fall on the sword piece a little bit that take
No, no, no,
responsibility
no.
for what happened?
Jennifer wants to take responsibility for this, but it's really of me. So I had emailed all of the design teams and asked them to use a template to give us more detail on the design plan. Some of the teams had very short design plans, and I think I probably confused everybody by using two different terms, design plan and design document. And I, in my mind, I had something different in mind for each, and I really did not explain it to you all what the difference was. So I think some of the teams thought they already put their design plan up, that they were, that they had put up what we needed. But we do need this design document completed, and I sent out an email and gave you all till next Friday. If it's not enough time, let me know. But we need something more detailed. And I think Jennifer and I were talking about this because I started asking around to some other instructors here. There seems to be a lot of terms circulating to describe a design plan, design document. They're used interchangeably. Some people have different ideas of what both of them, what the two are. And I think there were some other terms that popped up. But I was envisioning the design plan being just your initial kind of rough draft, what your idea was, but the design document built out quite a bit more with more detail. And you all are going to see this soon. Jennifer has developed a SurveyMonkey that will give us really great feedback on your design document. And I think it's so valuable for us as students to get really good feedback on the work we're doing. So, I did get a couple of the design documents back, but I do need you to finish that out, and I apologize because I feel like I'm making you go back and do work. But I do need you to fill that out in order for our evaluators to evaluate your design plan or document. We need that information, and the feedback is just going to be instrumental. If you're having problems with that, let me know. Somebody's audio just went out there. I don't know.
Oh,
Jennifer, if you see that.
that could you hear? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but Sharon just put
Oh,
up the
okay.
hers.
Yeah, if folks
benefit
use the
there.
text chat, if for whatever reason you can't hear the audio, let us know. It looks like Sharon has trouble, but it might just be Sharon's connection.
Okay.
And I do just want to mention to Gabrielle, like she was saying, it's kind of a semantics issue. Is a design plan, design document, but part of what my hope or my assumption was when we went into this is much like what happened when Elizabeth and Bonnie stepped up and did the personas. I personally had never used personas before, and so what I think is cool about what we're doing as a collaborative project that's hitting 15 different instructional design departments is we have this incredibly unique opportunity to borrow from each other on what people use within their own programs and what they advocate, what they teach in, for example, Instructional Design 101 class. And so, again, as part of kind of my whoops, I kind of assumed that we maybe would be able to take this part of the project a little further than when we were able, and that's something we'll look at down the road. But I think it would actually be really cool for us, maybe when we're at ACT, for those that are able to join, is to really talk about this. How do we document our design decisions? Which really is the point of a design document, is to put on paper what your thoughts are before you get to the development stage. So if you're not at the position of being able to develop yourself, you need to get it to a point that you literally can hand it to another person who's going to be the developer and take it and run it to the next level. And that's really the whole purpose of
Right.
this document we're talking about. And that's why I mentioned here in the bullet point, is it more than just semantics? And I think it is. I think it's could be really interesting to have conversations about what content should be in it, what to what level of detail, those types of things. And so again, that was kind of my assumption we could take that a bit further than we did. So I'll just kind of
Right.
leave that
And
part
part of
there.
it was my confusion, because when I met with all of you this past week, I didn't really explain. Clarify what it was we were looking for. So if you all could do that, would be great. Can you go back? Oh, you
Oh,
did go back to the screen. So yes, the personas, that came about so quickly, and I really appreciate Bonnie and Elizabeth working on those. They got those done so quickly, like over the weekend, dedicated their weekend to getting those done, and hopefully they have helped everybody with their design. At least knowing what the learner is all about. So thank you so much for doing that. That was just done so quickly. I was very surprised at how quickly that got done. And then, of course, tonight, really our star tonight is Eric, who is working on another project for grad school, and he has stepped up and offered to build this networking home base for the entire project. And we're so excited because it's giving us a complete vision of where this is going and what it's going to look like. So I'm really excited about it. Is he going to do his now, or do you have him later in the
yeah, and you know
program?
what? And we can decide how much level of detail. If we don't mind just tagging on with our comments about the design document, as Gabrielle mentioned, she
Sure.
shared a template with the coordinating designers, and as she said, she'll address any questions they have. But I found this is really helpful when I'm working with my students. I'm teaching two different classes this semester at Old Dominion, and one happens to be an instructional strategies class, and another is cognition and instruction. And for whatever reason, this is a conceptual framework that seems to work for the students. And so if you look on the left column, it's the instructional phases, and they correlate with this prior slide where no matter what type of instruction you develop, in some way, shape, or form, you have to get new information presented to the learner, and I have it in quotes because it could be something that's displayed, it could be discovered, it could be something that comes up in discussion. There's always some level of active learner practice where the learner is engaging with the content in one way, shape, or another. And then there's the feedback and guidance element, and then I have it kind of grayed out here. The last area being there's usually some type of assessment of learning. Typically, some type of mastery assessment. Has the learner mastered the material to be able to move on, particularly in formal educational settings? And I have it grayed out here because we're going to have different levels of mastery for what you guys are doing on the project. But just in general, these are the kind of the main phases. And then within the matrix here, the second, third, and fourth column from the left, it's where you start as a designer thinking how you're going to start filling in these boxes. So how do I want the learner to interact with content? To what extent will they be interacting with an instructor or a facilitator? How will they be interacting with each other? And as we've talked about in this project, there probably won't be a tremendous amount of learner-to-learner interaction, at least in the initial stuff that we're developing now, but that could change. We could have discussion boards or things that we may incorporate things with a learner. But I just wanted to take a couple seconds just to help kind of frame this, and again, as this idea of a conceptual framework for the student designers to think about. So think about way back when you were in your undergrad classes. I went to University of Wisconsin in Madison, 40,000 students. I sat in a big lecture hall with 500 students. So for the most part, there was no such thing as learner-to-learner interaction. Everything I had for the most part came from a lecture from the instructor standing in front of the big lecture hall, and then I read textbooks, did papers, graded paper, or my papers were graded, and then at the end of the semester, I took a Scantron test of my recall of the material. So, if you look at this, you see a lot of red boxes. If you move through to what you're doing now, a college practicum or an internship, things kind of shift over to the right, where you have a tremendous amount of learner-to-learner interaction, usually within the group you're working with, a little bit less in terms of having formal interactions with content. And then think about some of the things that you've seen probably in your own workplace where you've worked: e-learning, compliance training, sit you in front of a computer, it's kind of shovelware, a bunch of content dumped to you, maybe you're a quiz, maybe you're not, maybe or not. And then all the other boxes are pretty much X'd out. And so what you really need to do and think about when you're putting your design document together is to think about how are you going to get the learner to engage with the content. And as I said, this is a fairly decent conceptual framework. It's worked, again, as I said, for my students, and I use this literally every time I put a lecture together or a class together. I really think about how I'm going to have the learner interact with the content, the instructor, and other learners for each of these main phases of the instruction. So I think as you're putting your design document together and you're thinking about the instructional strategies, it's just a recommendation I have that you think about this. And as I mentioned, Gabrielle will you can choose to use this as you want when you're working with the coordinating designers. But I just wanted to take a moment tonight and talk about it a little bit. And so with that, I'll get off my little soapbox. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I think that's great. And Eric did ask that we get that posted up on Google Docs. It'll be on the webinar, of course, for now. But if we can post that, maybe.
Sure.
So they can access it.
Absolutely. And it's just a suggestion. If you have, you can have more granularity to your instructional phases. But this, as I said, these are kind of the big four that come out of most instruction. So with that, let's turn it over to Eric. These were some of the development things he's been working on for us tonight, keeping in mind the constraints that we've talked about before. So, Eric, do you want to take us through?
Yeah, sure. Let me share my desktop here. Okay. All right. Can everyone see that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
I know at the beginning of this project, I felt a little bit in need of direction. So I know we were thinking about, okay, we need to design these instructional units or open educational resources or what have you. And I thought, we need to do this someplace. And Jennifer had said, well, I sort of like these are some good examples of things that I like. And so I said, you know what, I have a project for grad school that I'm working on that fits kind of nicely with this. And, I will work. A couple of the big, requirements for this are that it be something that is fairly requires a fairly low level of programming knowledge or understanding for future designers. Also that it's fairly accessible for people who maybe do not have a ton of experience with Web 2.0 technologies or technology in general, and something that is sustainable for future use. So those were sort of the three things that I kept in mind, and then also thinking about how we could incorporate our own units of instruction into the fabric of the site. So here is the homepage. This site header here is, I was trying to pull something similar to what was up here on the actual HOPE site. Then I have the logo here for Grace Center, or Centers of Hope. I did a little editing in Photoshop with that. And then two main links here. You'll see here, left bar navigation. The two main portals for the site are for designers, which will be for not only us, but also future designers, and for learners. And you'll notice here, I have a bunch of sort of icons. Those are all from Wiki Commons, so they're Creatively Commons licensed, so no issues with trademark or licensing. You'll see down here, this is a free Weebly version. So there's no cost to us to keep maintenance of the site. Up here, I have just links to the Grace Center's Facebook page, Twitter feed, the Google Plus community, and then also an email to the just info email to Grace Centers of Hope. Here is where most of the content is going to be. So this is the main page for the learners. Here is going to be the content that the Pilot C, I believe, is developing. Here will be most of the content that Pilot A is developing. And then here is where Pilot B and then future, well, these all will be accessible to future designers, but primarily the instructional units will be. So I've broken this up into four content areas. We can add additional content areas and additional sub-content areas. Those are just sort of the first ones that came to my mind that might be topics that are handled on the GED. So how this will work, and you'll see underneath, I've written just click on the image act to access the tutorial library for that topic. So how this will work is students, learners will come here, they'll see pre-algebra, they can click on pre-algebra, and then that will open a separate tab, which will lead them to Google Drive. And then there they will have a folder with all of the tutorials, pre-algebra tutorials, available in Google Drive. The thinking here is that something like Google Slides or PowerPoint work very easily in this format because it's all web-based, and particularly in the case of Google Slides, it doesn't require any proprietary software. It's fairly linear, and I would say fairly user-friendly. The idea here is that future designers can create additional tutorials as needed through Google Slides and then just drag and drop them to the respective folder based on the content area. We can add additional columns here, topics, so on and so forth. So that's sort of the basis of the site. Here there's going to be information for future designers, including links to the Google group, as well as I sort of am still conceptualizing what this might look like. As well with community. The community is something I've added on a little bit for a graduate project I'm working with. This can stay or go at the end. That's really will be up to you all what you think, if it's necessary or not. And then the about here will just have some contact information, probably contact information for designers for learning, so on and so forth. Quickly here, so this is the face of the site. As far as creation goes, I don't know who all is familiar with Weebly, but it is a very sort of, you don't have to have an increased or an advanced knowledge of programming to be able to use it. I work with HTML, CSS, but I'm not a professional programmer. I can go in and tweak the CSS or the HTML if needed, as future designers will be able to if they need to. But the reason I chose this is A, because it's a free platform, and B, because it's basically a drag and drop interface. So you have a template, and you can see here, I can change the number of columns. This image, I can drag an image over here, add a new image. It's the learning curve is very, very flat. So a couple hours or so for future designers, and they'll have the hang of things. You can also easily, you can see here, if you want to edit the HTML, CSS, that you can do. I've made a few minor changes to color palette and a couple of layout features, but nothing too large. I stayed mainly within the confines of the template. And then here is sort of page navigation, layout, so on and so forth. Again, I think it's fairly straightforward, but I'm certainly willing to walk any future designers through a brief tutorial of it if they need it. So that's sort of what I've got so far. I've got some more work to do, but I'm certainly open to feedback or suggestions or any thoughts that y'all might have.
Yeah, I think it would be great. Courtney, I know you had your mic going. I'm not sure if Bonnie, you do as well. Courtney, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to hear what your initial thoughts are as far as, you know, what you think about. I know you've only had 5 minutes to digest this, but is this generally heading toward a direction that you were thinking we may go?
Yeah, it looks great. I love the logo. I love how it's set up. And again, I know, I mean, nothing about instructional design, but I really like it. This looks great, Eric.
Yeah, and I think, Eric, if you could also comment on this, I certainly think in terms of, as you said, development skills and abilities, it's really not much different than kind of editing a Word document at some point, right? As soon as you kind of figure out where things are to drag and drop or whatever it might be. So it really could be to the point, if we had folders for them to be able to upload content and things like that, that's probably something that Grace would be able to do as well, right?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Jennifer?
Yeah, sure can. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen over the years a lot of different interfaces, and what I like about this one is that it's visual, icon-based, with the text to support it without it being cumbersome. I see it's very simple, yet it covers all of the content areas. I put in a text comment that it looks great, but as far as working from a designer point of view, I could see it being very easy. I started out back in the 90s in authorware, which was extremely difficult as far as a learner interface was. And I never became a developer, but I learned a few different tools as I was taking my graduate courses. So this one it looks terrific. It reminds me a whole lot of the way PowerPoint works with the drag and drop of things. So I think it has a familiarity to it. So I'm not having to learn new icons. They seem very intuitive and self-evident. So yeah, really nice. I have a question, Eric, when it comes to each of the sections, for instance, when it comes to the content areas for the learners, especially, and the designers, will they be able to, let's say under algebra, am I then able to make other sub-content under that? Is that the way it will end up?
Oops, sorry. I think we've got
topics.
I think Eric's. Are you muted, Eric? Go ahead. Yeah, there you go. We can hear you now.
Okay. Am I still sharing my screen?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, certainly that's something we can do. I think the one thing is we want to make sure that this site remains fairly clean in its navigation.
Exactly.
And not
mm-hmm.
too cumbersome. So,
right.
You know, I could, you know, we can add additional icons. We could add another page, essentially. Okay. That, or you could have a page that's all math.
That's
just all English.
That's sort of what I was alluding to, is that this over you don't want to, I agree, you don't want the students or the designers to have to go 3, 4, 5 levels to get to something.
Right.
Yeah, that sort of the guideline is no more than 2, and if you have to 3, but you know, 2 levels is really plenty to have to get to. But just based on my discussions with Kim and Courtney before, is that sometimes, like with writing, there are topics that are specific, such as writing that is that has to do with grammar, and then other writing that may have to do with word usage. So this is a very large subject area. So I'm just asking if that capability, do you see that further down the line? Is that we would be able
to? Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, you can, the one thing, as I said, the content's not actually going to be housed here on the site.
I see.
Right? It's going to be housed through the cloud.
I see.
So, you know, if they go to pre-algebra, that could take them to a folder that says pre-algebra. They open that Google Drive folder, and then they might have, you know, 6 different subtopics that they can select from. Yeah,
I think get that, you.
It's a little bit for as far as the site is concerned, it's still you know, storage capacities on the cloud are much greater than they're going to be here, and I think that certainly going forward we could have one page that is all math. And one that's all English, but you can do the same thing on the cloud, you know, with probably one less step.
Yes. Okay. You answered my question, and again, I think I just love the fact that it's a little bit colorful, but it's not overwhelmingly colorful. The white background makes it easy on the eyes, and the colors are very palatable. And again, I don't get assaulted by the colors, and the icons are visual rather than just being text.
Yeah.
And so it's supported by nice, clean text. So just beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, I know when we talked earlier.
Computer Lab.
I know when we talked earlier, we were saying.
I don't think so.
Hang on a second. I'm just going to mute. I think Gabrielle, you might be talking. Sorry there. anyway, the when we first had these discussions, there was a kind of a push to have this housed in an LMS, which would allow us to do more robust assessments. And we were talking before we turned the recording on tonight when Eric was giving his demo, kind of a pre-demo with Courtney and Gabrielle and myself. That what's great about this is, if we do take this to a next level and would somehow be able to get some funding, some seed funding to be able to take it to a new level, this is an awesome, you know, impression of what we're envisioning. And if we aren't able to have all the capabilities within Weebly, that this isn't necessarily doesn't have to be our end game. But and I just wanted to acknowledge that because some folks were and rightly so were stating at the beginning that we need to have the ability to do some type of mastery assessment. For the learners as they're progressing to different levels to know what level they should be working on the materials. And, you know, it's not that we've ignored that entirely. It's just for the purposes of getting a prototype done within 11 weeks. You know, this is what we think is, you know, is a good way to approach it. So, Eric, I mean, just really thank you. This is great. And I think it's going to help the design teams as they now have something to look at to go, okay, this is what we're talking about. This is now what I can envision where we'll store our materials as we develop them. So thank you so much.
Yeah, Eric, it is. It looks beautiful. I agree with Bonnie. It looks just absolutely beautiful. But can you address how you're envisioning each of the design teams adding their content for this, just so for those, Marie, and those who are present and those who listen to the webinar see their role in adding the content to this?
Yeah, I mean, so what I'll do is, I'll create a shared Google Drive folder, and then, you know, the individual pilots right now can either share their content directly with me, So I need to sort of think about this a little bit more clearly, but the goal is that, you know, all of the content is actually going to be housed on the cloud. So it will all be housed in Google Drive. But, you know, if a learner comes here and they click on pre-algebra, they're actually only going to open a folder that says pre-algebra. And then upon opening that folder, they're going to see a list of tutorials that are related to topics within pre-algebra. You know, there could be subtopics, sub-themes related to that. As far as the designers go, you know, I think they should think about this as, okay, the learner opens up this, and then they're going to go to a particular tutorial. Let's talk maybe a more concrete example would help. So we're doing American history, particularly it's sort of a combination of reading, writing, and American history. So students have to are presented with primary and secondary sources from three periods related to World War II, pre-war, during the war, and post-war. And students need to, we have a couple of integrated media items. So for example, we have Roosevelt's speech after the bombing of Pearl Harbor in an audio format, and then quotes from people after the Marshall Plan was passed. So various documents, and the students will have assessment and broad level questions to sort of guide their understanding throughout the tutorial, as well as some questions that force them to develop some sort of cross-textual understanding. So how that will work, we're creating that in Google Slides. The student will click on American history. They will see World War II textual analysis. I don't know what the title will be. As a Google Slides presentation, they'll click on that, and then, boom, there's their tutorial. They might have another, you know, six tutorials related to World War II eventually. And so when they click on American history, they might have a bunch of subfolders, American history pre-18, pre-restoration, American history in the 20th century, American history in the 21st century, and then each one of those might have additional subtopics. So it's basically it's a Windows-based organization system for learner.
So the design teams don't need to learn anything new because we're already using Google Docs. Right. So it'll be the same process. So for those of you who are the designers who are attending, listening in, Eric and I will come up with a timeline so we can kind of give them an idea when they can or should start uploading whatever they have completed, or how we're going to, what the process is going to be for that, and maybe just some directions, just another overview. To go over that again, maybe we'll do that in one of our coordinator meetings.
Yeah, and if I might just add quickly, you know, I know Google Slides isn't the most dynamic nor the most robust tool that we can use for creating assessment and instruction, but I think as Jennifer pointed out earlier, you know, this is sort of the purpose of this project is to develop something that is a prototype and also something that can be sustainable and easily edited and built upon going forward. And I think Google Slides meets all of those criteria. And so despite its drawbacks, I think it's actually, you know, it works for what we're trying to do here. If I could be a defender of Google Slides for a second.
You can.
You can. You can. You're in the right crowd to do something like that. All right. So it sounds like, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about before as far as going way back here, clearly the next milestones are, as Gabrielle said, getting that design document finalized so we can send it out for the review. But really also then this whole notion, as Eric's done a great job, getting our minds to shift from this idea of design to development. And so anything you can start getting on paper in terms of storyboards or prototypes or whatever it is that you choose to use, again, Gabrielle and I will probably have to talk about this because I tend to be a little squishy, loosey-goosey on directives and in terms of deliverables on this stuff. But the main point being we just need to then now really get it. We've got 6 weeks left, so we kind of got to start turning that corner, moving the ship, as it were, from the idea of conceptual designs to actually getting things down on paper or virtual paper, as it were. So anything else, Eric or Gabrielle, before we hand things over to Jason to take us through some of the badging things?
I think that's it. I think hopefully that has given everybody, you know, kind of seeing the end product somewhat, an idea where we're going and what it's going to look like. But I think we've touched on everything that we were going to touch on.
Yeah.
So thank you, Eric. Really.
Thank you so much.
Really, really exciting.
And it looks like we do have a couple questions that are popping up in the text chat. So just to make sure before we switch things over to Jason, if you can hang tight a little bit, Jason. Although he's probably used to waiting right now, I'll let him explain why that is. I won't steal his thunder. But so Preeti is asking, he's working on the evaluation for the OERs, and I think her question was related to would things mirror with what they're looking at in terms of Common Core. And so that looks like something we'll need to look into. And so Preeti's on Project Team A, and so she's with the group that's working with the evaluating the existing open educational resources, trying to figure out the ways that they could be adapted for use in with this audience, with a GED prep audience. And so her point is very well taken. We should keep in mind how things are structured within not only Common Core, but the CCR standards as well as the GED standards. I think that's a really a good point. And I think Sharon also had a question. These are flying. Now everybody's talking.
I know. No, I can't keep up with it.
No, I can't keep up. There, I was kind of like probing and prompting people to talk.
Might designers use Google Forms to create quizzes?
Good point. And Sharon, I think you brought that up in the discussion forums this week, which, by the way, always making a plug for my poor discussion forums that just sit there quietly and don't get a lot of excitement and attention. Sharon's been great in posting some questions, but I believe this week Sharon asked the question that she said she would be willing to help out. Sharon, again, is a subject matter expert who has volunteered her time and is sitting there in the wings waiting for the students to ask her for some help or assistance. But she is very much interested in figuring out a way to use Google Forms as a way to do assessments. That was something that was of interest to her. So if there's anything that the student teams may need in that area, seek out Sharon. Any other thoughts on that, Gabrielle? Okay. I think I hit them all. I hope I got everybody's questions, but keep them coming. I'll try to follow along. And with that, Jason, do you want to go ahead and take the floor to tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on badges?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Sure can, yeah.
Can you hear me and can you see me?
I can see you. So can you tell us, what are you waiting for?
I'm waiting for my baby to come.
Yay!
I got a bun in the oven.
Really waiting, like eminently waiting, really, right?
Yeah, we are patiently waiting. He's due Monday. This Monday the 31st. So
congratulations.
Congrats. Thank you.
So
exciting.
We are very excited. So we're a little on edge a little bit. It's the first one, so we're kind of, you know, I commute back and forth to Penn State, so that's 2.5 hours away. So it gets a little antsy, but I'm home now. I'll be home, you know, for a while now. For some people that are worried about that.
So if your wife comes running by behind you with a small bag, we should like just know you might have to leave immediately. Okay, got it.
Pretty much. I've had my phone on. I have to make sure it's charged, you know. Yeah, we got to get everything ready to go. But that's my exciting news for that.
That's very exciting.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie. So as far as badges are concerned, I just want to talk to you about the badges for a minute. I'm glad that Jen put this up for me here so I can read it, right? I'm out of Penn State University. Our Center for Online Innovation and Learning created this L3 program. They just started up, I believe, last year. So it's about a full year probably through a process. And it is a work in progress, but it's a really cool, really easy way to generate badges, to make badges, and to earn badges. And initially, Jen and I was talking about how, you know, the participants in this project should earn a badge. And so I just wanted to talk to you about my thoughts of how that badge should work or could work, and possibly a new use for this L3 platform. All right, so I'm going to share the website with you. All right, can I just?
Yeah, you should be able to share your screen, right?
All right, so let me pop that up here. All right, can you see it?
No. You know what? No. I wonder. I think we almost. No, I can't. Can anybody else? I think we're seeing for some reason Eric.
No, it's not up.
Oh, I think Eric has to stop sharing. There we go. I think we're good now. I think we still had Eric's screen.
There we go. You can.
Starting.
You can see.
There it is.
Yep.
There it is.
All right. Wonderful. So, yeah, I'm going to share the website with everyone there because as a free software, it's a nice platform. It's easy to use. I log in. I'll show you what it has on there. Log on there. All right. So it's very simple. It has 84 available badges at the moment, and I'll just show you what one of them look like. All right, a very nice picture. And then it tells you how long it takes to complete the thing, and it tells you the steps that it takes to earn the badge. For this particular badge, you can read it on your own there, but this is about an Excel basic workshop, and it looks like it's just one step. And what you can do is you can start it, and once you add it to your queue, she does a dance, and then I can... If I'm logged in, it is free. You can create your own, password and log in. Then you can start. You can start that particular workshop, and it's probably all embedded in here. And it tells you it progresses you through a particular amount of steps that you need to do.
So you know what, right. Jason, you and I have always talked about this in terms of creating badges as a kind of a capstone for the student designers, kind of a acknowledgement of their work. But Eric mentioned, and it kind of, we popped in our heads at the same time, did you ever have any intention of this being something that would be we could ultimately incorporate for the learners, so as they progress through various levels, which, again, we aren't doing those types of assessments, so it may be hard to do at this stage of the game. But did you ever think about that as something we might be able to add down the road?
I had it definitely in the back of my head. Yeah, absolutely. I think that if it's something that, people that are in the project are really excited about and may want to try, I don't see why not. The problem is that, again, this is a work in progress. So everything is housed on this site. So you can't really export them right now. Right now, the badges in general are very new. And right now, Mozilla has this big initiative, and they have a backpack where you can export and import badges from all over the place. I'm not sure that this allows you to do that just yet, but it is a work in progress, so it does have some very nice features.
You know what, Jason, maybe we should back up just a couple steps and just clarify for everybody what we're talking about with badges, like what they are.
Right.
Let's define. You want to go ahead and kind of define what they are?
Sure, yeah. So badges are essentially a digital portfolio. It's almost like a digital resume. And what it is it houses quite a bit of information. Unlike a resume, where a resume just has, a blurb about what you did, this can actually have the products that you've completed embedded in the badge itself. So, for example, if I do this... MOOC completion. I'm not sure what these things do, but let's just try this one. Inside this badge, it can actually have actual work that you've done, that you've completed. So it could have papers, it could have quizzes, it may have those things embedded in this badge to show the actual work that you've done, as an example.
And so it's kind of for all of us educators are out there, it's just kind of the behind the scenes part that also has to happen is coming up with the criteria with under which you're going to assess people, right? So what mastery you're attempting to assess and then give the badge for. And I think that's behind the scenes what you've been sending me, right, Jason, for the design students is trying to figure out what in particular we'd be assessing for the design students. Is it collaboration with the client? Is it preparing the deliverables? Or is Eric's doing the development of a website or whatever it might be, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so this is the back end of it. I don't mind showing it because I think that anyone can just get on here and just use the thing anyway. But on the back end of it, this is the back end here. I have one set up right now. This is in a draft mode. Designers for Learning, Mapping and Mining of Education. This is a pilot A. This is as a focus on pilot A. And this gives a detailed description of it. And what I'd probably do is I would delete those. And, you know, it gives a general summary of what the badge has in it and what you did. And then the next one will say some more details about the badge. And I can also decide to turn it on or off again, how long it took to make it. I have a closing date, who the evaluator is. So this is the issuer of the badge in this area here. The step title. So right now I have three steps. And the first for this project is project participation. And this basically says that you participated fully in the making of your particular pilot, and it talks about what the volunteers agreed to do, so it tells exactly what you were able to do. I got this right off of the site, our home site that we have, and the criteria. What I can do here is I can decide whether I need text as evidence required, whether I need an upload, or another badge as well. That's on the back end of this. And there's a second step, OER deliverable. Did you create a sufficient enough deliverable? Here's the criteria for the deliverable. And on the back end, once you kind of submit that you have completed this task, the evaluator on the back end would look through the criteria and make sure that whatever you submitted or whatever you did, you know, met this criteria before they issue you this badge. There was a third step, which I put, which is client satisfaction as well. So those are the three steps that I had for completing this badge.
That's perfect. And I'm not sure you probably, I can never follow the text chat talk at the same time, but we've got some good conversation going on. Courtney was just kind of asking what it was, and I tend to just equate it with it's kind of a very simple description. It's kind of like the gold stars of the digital age. Like when you were a kid, your teacher would stick a little gold star on your paper when you got, you know, your 10 spelling words right or whatever it was. So that's kind of the one way I look at it. And so Preeti's asking, and this is a great question. So where will these badges be displayed? And I think that's what you were saying at the current stage right now. It's kind of everything goes back to the COIL site, the L3 site, right?
Right. At the moment, right. But again, it is a work in progress. They are continually working on this day by day. They did get a grant for it, so they are continuing to work on it. Eventually, it probably will have the capability to be exported wherever you need it to be exported. I'm just not sure it has that capability just yet, but I believe they're working on that. So right now everything is created and maintained here on this site.
Yeah. Also, it's funny, Courtney's saying, interesting, our students literally get stars and they get competitive. So there you go.
Yeah. This is a fun new way to display your talent and display and showcase your abilities.
Yeah. And then tied to this, I don't think Jill's on with us tonight, but she's been also thinking of ways in terms of more the now thinking about the design students who are working on this, true certificates of achievement that they, you know, a lot of the students are taking this class as part of a practicum or, for example, Eric's taking is going to use part of this for requirement in a course. And so we also have to think as an organization or whatever we're calling Designers for Learning is how we're going to give people formal recognition for what they're doing so right. it will give them proper credit for the classes they're working in. And so right now that's all just been very informal where we're just saying to folks, like for example, Gabrielle had me complete a I'm putting in air quotes, a client for her for a project she's working on in school. And so I have certain responsibilities with her to, you know, fulfill a role as a client, get her proper credit for the experience she's doing here. And those are kind of bigger than badges issues, I think, where it's we have to also think about how this would all tie together. But I think this is really cool. And I think it's neat that, as you're saying, it's something that it's kind of cutting edge for Penn State and that they've got this grant they're working with. And it seems like from some of the comments that are going through, Jason, where the real big interest may be is with the learners.
Right. So how would your learners use this? I think that, you know, MOOCs came along. We're all familiar with what MOOCs are and where they're going and what they are. Badges are right there next to it. Badges are coming up along with this gamification idea of education. But not only that, I think that companies are starting to look a little bit more seriously at this idea of a digital badge. And that's why COIL has put out the grant for it. And that's why, you know, the people that are working on this are all the bigwigs at Penn State in the gamification area, as well as the e-learning area. So most of our big names at Penn State are in terms of e-learning, gaming, and certain technologies. They're into this because of the ramifications and the possibilities for these to actually be used in a new age, in a new digital age, in a new information age. I think that Eric was talking about a little bit. He says, I think the anticipation is that in the future, badges will function as a sort of virtual portfolio or resume. Yeah, I think that is kind of that's kind of what we're looking towards. And that's why, you know, this L3 initiative has kind of gotten kicked off. But as far as learning is concerned, as far as our learners are concerned in this project, I think it would be a really cool, I don't want to call it a treat. I don't want to call it that. I think it just would be, we call it stickers, we call it gold stars, we can call it all these cool things, but what we're doing essentially right now is e-learning, you know? What we're doing right now is e-learning, and what we're doing right now is preparing these students for the future, which is technology-based. So it is an incentive, right? It is an incentive, but it's also a nice new incentive that's kind of on the cutting edge of what education is doing at the moment.
And I think the portfolio recognition piece is, it's going to be interesting to watch it play out because, as you're saying, this is housed on this Penn State site. But as you're saying, Mozilla has a large program happening in the background to make this more of a – and for those that aren't familiar, Mozilla's the folks behind, for example, Firefox, Thunderbird. They're kind of the open source, you know, share the love kind of people. And so they're trying to keep this as much as possible to be something that you could share across platforms. So I'm assuming then if you guys are dovetailing what you're doing at Penn State, that's the ultimate idea is that this would be something that would be across platforms rather than just within the one, right?
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, this is it's a work in progress, so it's going to be moved. Actually, they're coming out with a new version of it right now so that you can delete some of the badges that you've made. So you can kind of, it's more, they don't want to delete badges because people could be earning them. So they don't want to have anyone be able to delete them, but they're working on this kind of cloning process where I'm not on the badging side of things, but the people I work with are. They're probably better off telling you. Maybe I should send a website or a webinar on badges to you guys so that you can get a little bit more familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, I think this has a lot of potential. I just wanted to – I think maybe he's gone already. Or no, maybe he's not. I just want to say – thanks to Eric. He's just heading out. He's got to run. But thank you so much, Eric, before you go. But Jason, yeah, I think this is great. So once you get your baby home and you've taken your appropriate amount of baby love time, not thinking about badges when you bring the baby home, I think this is awesome. And I really thank you for looping us in on this and what you guys are doing. I think it's really cool. So with that, Gabrielle, did you have anything before we wind down our hour here?
Oh, the only thing I wanted to say, I love the idea of the badges because it reminds me of the coins that people used to get in AA. I think it's really a powerful thing, and I think it's a great idea. So thank you, Jason. And I was just thinking the same thing. If I was going to ask you if you could send us something, we could, even if it's written in article website, we can post in Google Docs so everyone can see it. But I just want to say, just with Jason coming here and talking about this, I love the way this project is just growing and expanding. And for Courtney, who is online, I just want to convey to her and the other SMEs and faculty who are here, you know, working directly with the students, they have had so much passion about this project. I have had several students tell me that whatever comes after this, that they are on board, that they are willing to continue this project after it's done and contribute however they can and help with the development, with more prototypes, with actually building content. And I think that's really wonderful because I think beyond just getting credit in class and maybe earning a badge, their heart is in the project. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Like, I'm not kidding. What was that, Monday or Tuesday? We were like, how is this working? It's just awesome. It's just
it's just all come together beautifully.
It's great.
I'm just really proud of the designers.
And really, thank you so much to Courtney and to Bonnie for playing along with us. You know, you guys probably could have pounded this out quickly yourself, but Bonnie could have probably had 6-7 modules developed by now with her expertise. But thank you for your patience and letting us learn what you do and learn in the process of working with you. So thank you again for your patience and showing up on a Thursday night. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recording, and I'll stick around if anybody has any additional questions, but I just wanted to kind of have an out point for the recording. So thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Okay, hold on. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
The conference has stopped.
Sorry. Well, the recording stopped, but no, you keep fine. Going. You keep the going. You no, keep talking. We're still live. Go ahead.
Well, I just got off of the COIL website. I just grabbed Kyle Peck's College of Education presentation on L3 and digital badges across Penn State. So I just dropped that into the chat box there. So there's the link. And you guys can get
caught up. I'll go ahead and post it in Google Docs then.
Oh, that's perfect.
Great.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
He's got an hour and a half long video about so you're going to get really caught up on what L3 is about. And if you need any more information on it, you know, I'll be more than happy to find it.
Excellent. So. Well, as long as we've got, you know, I don't want to take anybody's more time but I'm going to unmute, make sure Bonnie and Courtney are unmuted in case they had any questions. But did Bonnie or Courtney, as long as we have your phone on the phone, is there anything you need of us or anything that you want us to think about or do that you haven't heard tonight, you know, please either now or send an email to Gabrielle or whatever. But is there anything that you'd like to say?
I have nothing. I did write my comment that you guys are terrific and you're leading a charge and bringing so much innovation and ideas to the table. So just thank you.
Oh, no. But you're the one that brought us here, Bonnie. You're the top of the little pyramid. Yeah. So that's really cool. And then, like I said, Courtney, just anytime you have a question or if you think we're going in a goofy direction or when you talk this over with Kim and you show her the video or whatever, please let us know if there's something that's going off the rails a little bit or you'd like us to consider a different option. We're very open to any ideas you have. And Courtney in particular, I don't think we thanked you enough for filling out the questionnaire. We hit you with a pretty big document, and we really appreciate the turnaround on that.
No, thank you guys so much, and Bonnie helped with that document a lot. But you guys are just so wonderful. We're so blessed to be a part of this and so thankful to Bonnie and Jennifer and Gabrielle and Eric and everybody and all the students. So just thank you so much.
Well, great. Well, this is good. So I think we're turning a corner, and we've got, like I said, 6 weeks left. So I think we're going to really start seeing things come together where we are. It's not just all in our heads. We're going to start seeing things on virtual paper. So, well, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate the time, and good luck to you, Jason.
Thank you.
Have a great
week.
Thank
you, guys. Take care. It's been good to see you. Be exciting.
Very. Keep us. I don't know. I don't know if you're on. Are you on Twitter or anything? I just want. How are we going to know when this baby arrives?
Well, I can post it in the. I don't know if I should post it there, but I'll let you.
You can
know
post it anywhere you want. We don't care.
Okay. The Google Plus group.
There you go. That's fine.
We got lots of action happening over there. So
yeah, that's just a hotbed of excitement over there.
I'll put it right in there.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Talk to you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.